morning. I want to start by apologizing for my broken gibberish instead of English. So I pray that you bear with me. And I want to start in a psalm. So if you can open your Bibles to Psalm 119. Don't panic. It's going to be only one verse. So, verse 68, and I'm reading through the Legacy, the LSB. So it says, "You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes." And that's what I'm about to witness to you. So I want to first make a little introduction of myself, my family, what we do for ministry. And then we will jump right into our text in Luke. But before that, I have also a funny story with Mike I want to share with you all. So, yeah, that's what happens when you give the microphone to some of your friends. So, yeah. We used to run half marathons. That was 500 pounds ago. And it was really fun to run with Mike, Paul, a common friend that we had. But for whatever reasons, we only ran together the first mile. After that, they will just take off, and I will see them at the end of a half marathon. But that's okay. I still love you, Mike, so thank you. All right, well, I want to say thank you to the Lord as well for who He is and what He does. The Lord is good, and He does good. All the time. Every time. So that's something that we have to stick to. And that's part of my own personal testimony as well as my family. So 2017, we went back to Madrid, to our home church, and a couple of years later, it was clear for us that the Lord was willing for us to plant a church in Madrid. So we have almost everything squared up. We had a place. We had a group of people who were willing to join us. But at that moment, my wife was diagnosed with breast cancer. And it was a good fight. We had tons of people praying for us. She was declared cancer-free in January 2020. And then I flew back to the States in March for Shepherd's Conference and also to meet some of my good friends and good brothers, fellow brothers, and to share about the church plant. And Aida was rushed into the hospital, and 20 to 24 hours later, she was with the Lord. So, yeah, people say that I lost my wife, but that's not true. I know where she is, and I do know with whom she is. So here I am with four kids, 16, 12, 3.5, and 2.5. But the Lord was faithful. He's good. He does good. And so we moved to the northwest of Spain. You can see that on our prayer card. We are just on top of Portugal. And I was invited to be part of a thrilling church who is really big into preaching, into teaching, into training men. And they just could allow my situation to work through that so I could have some time to care for the kids and to just be a full-time dad, cooking, cleaning, washing, ironing, just doing everything. But the Lord also gave me opportunity to keep preaching and to keep teaching our men and teaching and discipling the church. So that was really a blessing to me to be in that church. That's the church where we are right now. And in 2023, there was a brave lady who came toward me, and we say hi one each other, and we start working on a project for the church, and 9 months later, we got married. So you can meet the brave lady over there, Deborah. So yeah, she's been a blessing for us. As a family, she's been a blessing for me, and she's also a blessing for the church. So I was preaching, and she was playing the piano, and, you know, things happen. So be careful with the pianist. And so, yeah, it's been 9.5 months married, so it's a joy. And I know that many of you have been praying for us, so thank you so much. Thank you for praying for us. Thank you for your financial support. And we also have the Matt Vickers here with us. They are great friends. Also, they are prayer warriors, and they are also helping us with our ministry in Spain. So my ministry basically sticks to the church, preaching, teaching, but we have also a seminary in Spain. We have about 136 grads right now. So most of them, 80% of them actually are already in ministry. So they are lay pastors, lay elders who preach regularly, but they can afford to quit their jobs and move to the States and be trained. So we have a 6-year program divided into two, and we get together 5 times a year for a complete weekend. And so we teach them, and bear with me, we start Friday 9 p.m. and that's dinner time. So from 9 to 9:30 we have dinner together, and from 10 till 11:30 p.m. we have our first class. That's Spain, so everything is like 3 hours pushed back, so no big deal. And then we have the whole Saturday from 10 till 2 p.m. and from 5 till 8:30, sometimes 9. And then we have to use Sunday morning as well to be trained. And we start at 10 a.m. and we finish up by 2. And then these precious men will drop their cars 2, 3, 4, 6, 8, 9 hours away. And on Monday morning, they will be back at work. And next Sunday, they will be preaching. So if you can pray for them and for the family. But we have seen the fruit of this man getting the Bible right, preaching the Bible right. And that's first, a benefit for the self. Second, it's a benefit for the family. And thirdly, it's a huge benefit from the church. Because when you think of Spain, you might think of a Catholic country. But that was like 40 years ago. Not anymore. I mean, when you think of Spain, just think of Canada. Like a crazy country, led by the LGBTQXA whatever plus agenda, and really, really, really secular. And that secularism has gotten into the church. So nowadays, our main problem is that we have churches who are not preaching the Bible at all. They have chats, they have good time together, they enjoy one another, but they are not into the Bible. So when you are not into the Bible, the society will get into you. And so we have no difference between the society and churches. So pray for these faithful men and their churches, and how they are really keeping the stand of the importance and the basic of the Bible. So I would love you to pray for them and to pray for us as we train them. So again, thank you for having us. Thank you, Pastor Mike, for having us. Thank you to my Vickers, because they are our host family. And thank you all for your support, just with prayers and also with financially. And I wish I could be funded by my own church, but that's my prayer for the next generation, that they will understand the joy of funding your own pastor. But thank you for being part of the ministry, even in a country but it's so far away. And at the same time, I mean, we're close to Portugal, so we also have the students who came. They were trained with us. They are back in Portugal. They are duplicating the program, and they are even taking the program to the Portuguese-speaking countries of Africa. So the Lord is working mightily, even though we are in a dark, dark, dark country. He's at work. Why? Because He is good, and He does good. So let's keep that in mind. We brought some prayer cards with us. I think they are back on the street. On the table back there. And if you are willing to take one, feel free to do that. But only if you are going to pray for us. Okay? That's the deal. All right. Let's jump into our text today. Luke chapter 8. And we're going to be looking at the first three verses in Luke 8. So we find ourselves in the middle of Jesus' ministry in Galilee. That's the northern part of Israel. And in Galilee, Luke aims to present Jesus as the Messiah, the Son of Man. That's the title that he will use every time, almost every page in the Gospel. And he's willing to do that to a Gentile audience, mainly Greek. So the simplest way to divide Luke will be to follow his geographical pattern. So we have chapter 1 and chapter 3 with the birth of the Son of Man. And then from chapter 4 till chapter 9, verse 50, Jesus' ministry takes along in the northern part of Israel, in Galilee. And that's where we are going to be. Then he will start his journey from Galilee down south to Jerusalem. And that's the bigger part of this gospel. That's chapter 9, verse 51, till chapter 19, verse 27. And now the coin will flip, or the tables will flip. So Jesus will do a lot of miracles in Galilee, but he will do more teachings as he goes south to Jerusalem. Then we have the Passion Week, verses in chapter 19 and 23, and then the consummation of the ministry of the Son of Man in chapter 24. But before jumping into our text, Jesus has just finished a short version of the Sermon of the Mountain. In chapter 7, he also had the example of a centurion, and Luke was demonstrating that Jesus' teaching can be practically and evidently applied, and not only by Jews, but also by those Gentiles. So Luke presents a centurion, a widow, and a sinful woman. So a foreign oppressor, a widow, and a sinner, and they got the message right. But the Jews did not. So in these few verses, Jesus will wrap up his message and his ministry in three verses. And that's what we're going to see now. So what marks, what directs Jesus' ministry or Jesus' agenda? How does he carry on his agenda, his ministry? Is there any lesson that we can learn and apply to ourselves? Is there any lessons we can learn and apply to our family? Is there any lesson we can learn and apply to our church? You know, I love agendas. In the past, there used to be a book. Then we had, I don't know if you remember, the PDAs, those electronic devices, personal digital assistants. But who remembers that? Now we have phones, and they do everything but being a phone, We can take pictures. We can have our schedule. We can do many things, but talk to them. So an agenda is not only useful for planning your future, but it's also good to look back at your past, things that you made, time that you spent doing things. And in a similar way, with these brief verses, as Luke usually does, we will be able to jump into Jesus' agenda, focusing on what marks and directs Jesus' agenda. How does he carry on his agenda? How does he carry on his ministry? So in Luke 8, chapter verses 1 through 3, we are going to see the priority of the gospel in Jesus' agenda. The priority of the gospel in Jesus' agenda, so that you, your family, and your church will or would adjust it to Christ's agenda. And we'll have 2 points to look at. Or we're going to divide it into 2 points. So first it's going to be the priority to preach the gospel. The priority to preach the gospel. That's chapter 8, verses 1, especially the first part. And then the priority to support the gospel. Chapter 8, verses 1, the second part, until the 3. So let's read these 3 verses. And it happened that soon afterward, he was going around from one city and village to another, preaching and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him, and also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and sicknesses. Mary, who was called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Chusa? How do you pronounce this? Chusa. Good. Because yesterday I said chariots instead of chariots. And so I had like 5 people correcting my English. So thank you so much. Chusa, Herod's manager, and Susanna, and many others who were ministering to them from their possessions. So what impact does the gospel have on your agenda? If you could pick it out right now and take a look at it, how does the gospel influence your agenda? How does the gospel relate to your daily life? How does the gospel relate to your economy? How does the gospel relate to your time? And to your family? And to your own church? So we're about to see an agenda that has a clear priority. And that's how we're going to start, the priority to preach the gospel. Verse 1, and it happened that soon afterward. And that's a phrase that Luke will use to change the scene, to move forward. So, but soon after what? Of what? So we have to go to chapter 7, and we find a public discussion at a banquet hosted in one of the Pharisees' house, and Jesus is there. And Jesus again points to the reality that he is the Messiah. That he is the Messiah. And the Gentiles are responding well, and the Jews, who have the Torah, they have the law, and they have the Old Testament, they are missing completely the point that Jesus is the Messiah. So there are evidences of Gentiles, sinners, coming and being saved, but the Jews are turning their backs on the gospel. They are turning their backs on Jesus. And soon after this event and the appropriate response of the sinful woman compared to the Pharisees' doubts, Luke tells us that Jesus' agenda continues without any major change. Jesus came to the world to preach the gospel. He didn't come to do healings. He didn't come to perform miracles. He came to preach the gospel. And that's his priority. So that's what we find right after in the same verse. He was going around from one city and village to another. So that means that this was not just something that Jesus will do once a month, once a week. But he was every day going around from one city and village to another, every day without an exception, as it is indicated by the verb. And he was going around. And it's an interesting verb because it's only mentioned here by Luke and twice, here and in the book of Acts. And the idea is to travel through a place, to just go through the place, not just to randomly get into a place, but to, with a purpose, get into one place and stay there. So it's an action that already happened in the past, but it's repeated in the present. So Jesus continues with his agenda of traveling through from one city and village to another. And that also has a good point for us. Jesus didn't go only to Portland. He didn't only go to major cities, big cities, big populated cities. But he was going from city, from one city and village to another. So the number, the size, the population, that didn't matter at all. So we have to look at our neighborhood as well. We have to look at our family, at our extended family as well. So it doesn't have to be big numbers, big populations. And if it didn't have any influence in Jesus' agenda, then it shouldn't influence our agenda as well. So when you or us as a church or pastors, we don't move by human statistics or sociological studies or trends. We move by what the Word God says, and we follow Jesus' agenda. So we see many examples in the book of Acts when Paul and Barnabas were preaching the gospel all over Asia Minor, to the Jews first and then to the Gentiles. And God has an agenda, and he carries it through the preaching of the gospel, despite populations, despite the human trends, despite the cultural trends as well. So the gospel agenda is not human. It is a divine agenda. And you, me, us, are called to preach the gospel. And that's the priority, to preach the gospel. From one city to a village to another. And it's really interesting, the world preaching and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. Preaching. It's a really nice word. Kerizo, in Greek. That means simply to proclaim it verbally. That was the heralds used to do in the Olympic Games. When there was a victory, when there were some political issues that they needed to address, that everybody should know, the king will call his men, his herald, and he will give them a message, and they will have to proclaim it. But without changing a word, without moving a comma. Yes, word by word, you go and proclaim my message. And Luke borrowed this verb and applied it to the preaching. So when anyone stands in this pulpit, he better proclaim the word of God as it is written. Because that's his call. And that was he supposed to do. And I know you have a good pastor to that. So that's why we're moving to the next verb, proclaiming. Evangelizo. If you just twist it a little bit, it sounds like evangelism. To bring the good news. But this bringing the good news, they have an emphasis on who is bringing this good news. It's not a hurdle at this time, but it is Jesus himself. He is the good news, and he is proclaiming the good news. The good news of the kingdom of God. And this kingdom of God is a quotation that comes from Isaiah, the book of Isaiah in the Old Testament. They were visioning the future, that future kingdom of God coming. And Jesus borrowed that idea, and he said, here is the kingdom of God. I'm coming. It is the time. It's time to preach the gospel. So, who proclaims the gospel? To whom is it proclaimed? What is the message that it's proclaimed? How is it to be proclaimed? Where is it to be proclaimed? Let's answer these questions. Who proclaims the gospel? Jesus is the one who, soon after he began to travel through the cities and villages, proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. So, the Son of God himself is the one who is fulfilling the Father's agenda. How? Preaching and proclaiming the gospel. Is it your priority to announce, to preach, to proclaim the gospel? Is it something that is marking your agenda? Because this is not only the pastor's job or the elder's job. We are called to equip you so that you can preach and proclaim the gospel to your family, your workplace, your high school, college, wherever you are. To whom should we proclaim the gospel? And Jesus brings and proclaims the good news of the kingdom where? We saw that. City after city, village after village. So wherever the Lord has set you or put you, like in your job, in your school, high school, family, relative, extended family, wherever you go to do your shoppings, wherever you take the car to the shop, just go there and share the gospel and preach and proclaim the gospel. What is to be proclaimed? It's just the good news of the kingdom of God. And they were explained just a few verses back in chapter 4. Come with me. Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. And this is the Lord Jesus quoting, especially from Isaiah 42, when he's in the synagogue, and he says, Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim and to relieve to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. And this is the mission. Go and preach the gospel. That's what Jesus did. He came to preach the gospel. So Jesus preaches and proclaims the good news of the kingdom of God. Not a message that goes like everything will go well with you. You're going to have a rosy life. Everything is going to be fine. Your finances are going to go up. You're going to be in good shape forever and ever. But he came to proclaim that he is the way. He came to proclaim that he is the truth. And he came to proclaim that he is the life. So there is only one way, one truth, and one life. And that's through Jesus himself. That's why he ends in John 14:6. No one comes to the Father but through me. So we even have the message that we have to proclaim. We have to preach Christ. We have to proclaim that he is the way. We have to proclaim that he is the truth. And that only he is the life. There are no 17 truths outside there. And you pick and choose. There is only one truth. There is only one life. And there is only one way. All other truths, all other ways, all other lives will lead you to hell. And we have to be bold about this. Because people are dying and they are going to hell. And we have the good news of the kingdom of God. What a blessing it is to proclaim the gospel. Is this the rock where you are building your house? Or are you still building on sand? How is to be proclaimed? We have to proclaim it like a herald. So, we don't change it. We don't water it down. We don't sweeten it. We don't add. We don't say just the nice words. We proclaim as it is. And where is it to be proclaimed? In the cities, in the villages, in towns, wherever you are, wherever you go. This is a priority to preach the gospel. So what should you do then with the gospel? Just preach it. Bring it in. Proclaim it. Preach the gospel. And that's the main agenda for ourselves today. We are to preach the gospel. Now, how does your agenda look like? Are you proclaiming the gospel? Are you faithfully teaching your family to preach the gospel? Is this a church that is known for preaching the gospel? So make the preaching of the gospel your priority, time in and time out. This is our first point, the priority to preach the gospel. Because in Luke 8, verses 1 through 3, we see the priority of the gospel in Jesus' agenda. So that you, I, would adjust ours with Christ's agenda. Now let's jump into verses 1 and 3, the priority to support the gospel. And it's interesting how Luke now presents us the second respond to the gospel. The first one was to proclaim it. The second one was to support it. Now the question is, how do you support it? Does support mean to cheer up? Do I have to go to Mike and hug him because he has preached a good sermon? Do I have to cheer him up? Do I click a like? Do I click a follow? Or repost, or whatever it is that now we can do? What does the gospel need to be carried out? And just as preaching the gospel is Jesus' priority, you should also adjust your life in line with Christ and make the gospel a priority in your life. And for it to be a priority, you must proclaim it, and then you must support it. And the gospel must be supported. How? We got the answer in verse 1, the last sentence, and verses 2 and 3. Just as the gospel must be proclaimed, it must also be supported in every way necessary to accomplish its goal. And Luke shows two groups of people following Jesus and supporting the preaching of the gospel. On the one hand, we have the 12. Look at the end of verse 1. The 12 were with him. And Luke introduced them to us in chapter 6, verses 12 and 16. They were in the process of training. They are spending 24 hours a day with Jesus. 24 hours a day. So they are going to be the preachers of the same good news of the kingdom that Jesus was already proclaiming, and they were learning just as they were being and spending time with Jesus 24 hours a day. How? By imitation. By following their master's steps. They were learning by doing. They were learning by seeing. They were learning by listening to. Therefore, one response or one answer to the priority of the gospel is to preach it, and the second one is to support it. And here are the 12 learning from the master to preach the gospel. So preaching the gospel is a duty of all of us who are his saved children. And the preaching of the gospel is an exclusive call to some of us. Some of us who can dedicate all our life exclusively to preach the gospel. So there is a general call to all of us as children, but also there is a specific call to those who are called to preach and teach and to equip you to preach the gospel. And we all must preach the gospel. Not only the 12, but the 12 were called to preach it in a particular way. And that's what we're doing. What happens if you are in a group like the 12, where you feel called to preach the gospel as a way of life? What are you supposed to do if you have the call to be trained and to go to seminary and to preach the gospel, or to become a pastor? The first thing you should do is go and talk to Mike. Go and talk to your pastor or any other elders, and they will guide you on the steps that you have to follow and you have to take. And what happens if you are not in the group of the 12? If you are not called to preach the gospel from a pulpit? What do you do with this general call to all of us to preach the gospel? First, go and preach the gospel. Second, if you are not to call and to stand in a pulpit, go and support those who are called to preach the gospel. And that's what we find in our second group, verses 2 and 3. And these are the women. And this is fascinating. Pay attention to how Luke presents us a double response to Jesus' ministry. A woman loved Jesus and demonstrated it with action, the sinful woman, chapter 7. And now Luke introduces us to a second group of women who financially supported Jesus. And it is really interesting to see how Luke gives visibility to women. Remember, we're in the first century. So if you are a woman, you are a second or third class citizen. So it's not the gospel that push woman back. The gospel actually brings woman up front. And they are treated for the first time like a real citizen, like a real person. And Jesus loves them. And Jesus saves them. And they understand her calling, and they support him financially. So some woman who had been healed of evil spirits and sicknesses. So the 12 are with him, and also are this woman. And this was not normal. Woman did not go with the master. They did not travel with him. They were not called disciples. They couldn't be discipled. But now you see how these women who were impacted by Jesus' ministry and the salvation of the gospel bring, they have an answer. How? By supporting Jesus. And look how Mary was called the Magdalene, from whom seven demons had gone out. So they are not two names, but Magdalene means that she's from the city of Magdala. And she's not the simple woman from the end of chapter 7, but Mary of Magdala had suffered a severe episode of demonic possession. That's why this is implied with the statement of the seven. So seven in Hebrew means like total, like a great, a complete. But Jesus healed her, and she answered by supporting Jesus' ministry. And Mary Magdalene, we know from the gospel accounts that she remained faithful to the end, even to the point of the cross. She was the one standing there with him. And then we have others. Johanna, the wife of Susa, who was Herod's manager, and this Susanna. We know nothing more about this woman than her name. That's all we know. And we also know that his husband, Chusa, may have been a minister or a person who was helping Herod in any ways. So Lucas has shown us in these brief verses one of his summaries or his statements. There is an agenda that points to a priority to preach the gospel. There is an agenda that points to support financially the gospel. But Jesus preaches the gospel. Why? Because it is his call. Because it is what the Father has entrusted him to do. And so we are called to do the same. So that's the first response. Just preach the gospel as Jesus did. And the second response is what we find with the woman doing. But what does your agenda says? If you could take your bank statement, will you find ways to support the gospel in there? How are you? How is your agenda? How does your agenda look? Preach the gospel and support the gospel. And look, this is not the time where the missionary will say, you need to support the gospel. Hey, I'm in Spain. I'm willing to take your dollars. Preach the gospel to your family first. Preach the gospel and equip your family to preach the gospel. Then, preach the gospel to your church. May they be a church that preaches the gospel. And once you preach the gospel in Grissom, in Portland, in Oregon, in the West Coast, in the U.S., then go and take the gospel to the ends of the earth. But you are called to preach the gospel first to your family, second to Grissom or Oregon, Portland, West Coast, and the U.S. This is how it's supposed to do. And secondly, then, fund your pastor. Make sure that he is well equipped so that he can pour his life in preaching the gospel and also in equipping you in a manner that you can preach the gospel faithfully to your family, to your church, to where you are working, where you are studying, or whatever you do for a living. Then take the gospel to your relatives. Take the gospel to your extended family. And once Grayson, Portland, Oregon, the West Coast, the U.S. is fully preached, then pray for missionaries. Pray for those who will go out of your country to preach the gospel. And now, it's the moment when you pray for us, those who are already outside our country. Pray for missions. And my dream and prayer, and I was sharing this with Mike, is to see churches in Spain who really get and understand Jesus' agenda. And they preach the gospel, and they also support the gospel. And Spain has been a country that has received missionaries, especially from the UK. So for the last 100 years, the church in Spain has been quite used to receive a pastor who is fully funded from his sending church in the UK. So they didn't have the need, or they didn't understand the need to support the gospel. But pray with me that the word of God will impact the Spanish church so they can support their own pastors. And pray with me that we will be able as well to preach the gospel to our families, to preach the gospel to our communities, to preach the gospel to our societies, to fill Spain with the gospel, and then start sending Spanish missionaries all over the world. So my dream and prayers are for churches and from each of their members to fulfill the priority to preach the gospel. And if you are here with us and you have no idea what I've been talking about, it is because you need the gospel. It is because you need to come to Christ and repent of your sins. It is because you need to understand what the gospel is. And once you have been saved by God through Christ, once you have been shown by the Holy Spirit and by the Word of God that He is the only truth, He is the only way, and He is the only life, and you have turned your back on a way that was straight to hell, and God has saved you by faith, once you are acquainted with the good news of the kingdom, once you know what it means and what it entangles, you will go and preach the gospel because it's the good news of the kingdom. And you want your family to spend the eternity with Christ. And you want your extended family to spend their eternity with Christ. And you want your own country to spend eternity with Christ. How do we do that? Preaching the gospel. Second, supporting the gospel. May that be a reality in our life. May we, Blessed Home Community Church, preach the gospel and support the gospel. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for Jesus' example. Thank you because he lived a perfect life. Thank you because we have been able to remember that through communion. Thank you because he set the perfect example in front of us. And thank you because he fleshed out what it means to preach the gospel and the need to preach the gospel. Thank you because he went to every city, every village. Thank you because he didn't follow the cultural trends. Thank you because he didn't care about populations or numbers or figures or any other thing. Thank you because he did proclaim the gospel as it is, the word of God, the kingdom of God. And also thank you for those who understood the need to support the gospel. Thank you for this woman. And thank you for the 12 who got the baton for Jesus himself to preach the gospel. And so I pray that we, every one of us, we will grab Jesus' agenda and just match our agenda to his agenda. That we will preach the gospel. That we will be heralds to our communities, to our family first, then to our county, then to our state, to the West Coast, to the U.S., and after that, to the rest of the world. And may you also have those people who support the gospel by praying for those who are preaching the gospel. And thank you for Mike, for Pastor Mike, and thank you for his work. Thank you for the elders that you have with him. And thank you for a church that understands the importance of preaching the gospel and supporting the gospel. And may you move us to pray for those who are faithfully preaching the gospel, Lord. May we equip them and may we keep them in front of you by our prayers, day in and day out. And may your kingdom advance for the Father's glory and for your glory. Amen.